Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I want you to know that I was doing a little few odds and ends here. I probably won't have this text till very close to about 11:30.
Well, what we're going to do, Mr. President, is take it down off the air.
Oh, that's...
Release it that way.
Really soon enough, isn't it?
Oh, sure.
I'll have it ready probably by 11 or 11:30, if that'll help you.
Well, I think it'd be just as easy for us to take it down right off the air half hour later and then get a transcript right out.
Well, if you want to get it sooner, what she can do, of course, is as soon as I finish it, is to telex it down there, and then you've got it.
All right, well...
It gives you an hour or two earlier, really.
Fine.
But, whatever you like.
Okay, well, if that's possible, but it's not necessary for you to rush.
Well, they didn't rush. Well, I'm not rushing. It's just the fact they didn't get the text into last night.
Right.
They had to call her when in the West Coast and a lot of other things. But
okay, we'll check with Rose, and when she gets it, she'll text down, and we'll try and do it both ways.
Right. Okay. But there really isn't a hell of a lot of news in it, Ron. It's mainly just a pitch for the spanking ceiling. But
well, I still think it'd be a good play.
But on the other hand...
The event itself has got to get built up.
Yeah. The main thing is they must not get the impression we're going to put our tax reform thing out, because we're not now. I refer again to property taxes, but I don't say what we're going to do about it yet.
Right.
But otherwise, that's fine.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. I see McGovern continues his rather wild swings. It's about, the guy's looking, I think, a little damn ridiculous on some of this stuff. What do you think? I mean, first it's the most corrupt, and then it's the most devious, the most deceitful, and then the worst. And
right.
What was it today? What was that one in the paper this morning was amusing. I don't know, something about, I forgot what it was, but... It's just one a day. That's, I think, probably their policy.
Yeah, I think...
I certainly think I am right, though, that it doesn't... Of course, the press loves it because they liked anything that knocks us. But on the other hand, it's got to turn off some of the people. That's my view, at least. In other words, I think a fellow like Potter really is concerned is that it does turn off people. That's my word.
Yeah, I think so, too. When he, like you said, in Chicago... referring to the Shears kind of demagoguery. I think he said it's setting out
amnesty. Oh, incidentally, that was great, though, for him to talk about amnesty.
Sure, that's right.
I love that.
But I'm saying when he refers to you as using the Shears kind of demagoguery, anyone who's been watching him...
I wonder what's he doing.
Yeah, that's right. And I saw TV last night. They pointed out that they were redoing their television commercials, and they said they were going to be rough. Well, I don't think that people spark to that, because he has a presentation and a posture that is not becoming to him when he uses these words.
He doesn't feel comfortable with it, does he, Ron?
Well, I think he probably feels
he's
psychologically comfortable.
He's basically a sort of an effeminate type.
That's right.
An effeminate type does not attack well, because
right.
He sounds like a sort of a shrewish woman.
That's right.
Really, that's
true. He's whining. I listened, going home in the radio the other night, WTOP grants 15 minutes of, airtime from people to air their views. And they used an excerpt of one of his foreign policy speeches that he gave about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And we were riding along in a car, and I was listening to WTOP news, and this came on, and I thought, well, this is ridiculous, WTOP giving this much coverage. But then it ended up, it was one of those, time spots. But in listening to him for 15 minutes talk, it is very grating. And, the harshness of his language.
Harshness and no...
No spark or no spirit.
No flexibility in it.
He whines on. And then the news... came back on, and they covered a couple other events and covered him somewhere else, and his voice was on again, and the driver, the sergeant, the car said, Mr. Ziegler, do you mind if I turn this down a little bit? Because it was getting on the guy's nerves.
Yeah. Did you talk to Cronkite, incidentally?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And,
let's see, did he say they have McGovern already?
No. What he said, he
I
said...
I really want to know the truth, you see. I mean, if he wants to level with us, we might do his program.
Discussion. What he said that he realizes, and he seemed sincere when he said this, he realizes that you're busy here at the White House and so forth.
Yeah.
And But that was, of course, he was leading up to make his point. He said, Ron, he said, I think that there are a number of issues that can be discussed and covered better in a one-on-one situation than can really be covered in a mass conference. He said, I don't think the mass conference really brings out a lot of the details on issues and so forth that can be brought out. And he said that's why he called you to suggest this. Well, then I said, well, how much time do you have in mind? And he said, well, a half an hour, an hour. I'm very open on that. He said, of course, I think there would be enough to go for an hour. He said, but he's open. Then we talked about the fact that you would only do a thing like this live and unedited. That has been your policy and so forth. And he said, that
shouldn't be used.
That's the way I would want it. And I said, well, I guess you've already talked to McGovern and lined McGovern up. He said, oh, no. He hasn't. And I said, well, under this procedure, I guess McGovern would follow us. He said, no. He said, matter of fact, he said he hadn't given that much thought. But he said he recalled in 1960, you were very gracious, apparently, when he talked to you about this, as to whether or not Kennedy or you would go first. And he said the president at that time said that didn't matter. He said, I remember that very distinctly, and I'm willing to return the favor. And to do it however you would want it.
McGovern went first.
If you were interested, he said, the way I do it, Ron, he said, we just tell McGovern that's the only date we have available for him to go on, and that would be before the president.
I'd have to go on second.
Yeah, that's what he said, and he said that he would want
that. Also, I'm busy with the Congress.
Right, that's right. Then I made the point.
You make the point that he couldn't take excerpts from Ron and run it into
the
debate.
I talked to him about that.
That's the thing.
Running them face-to-face, and he said no, he wouldn't do that. He'd set up any ground rules and do it on any basis that we would like. And I said, well, that's something if we do develop an interest, and I made the point about making recommendations to him and so forth.
Also, you made the point that the other networks, how do you think we could get around that?
Well, I told him, I started the conversation by saying, Walter, we have a number of requests similar to yours from not only the networks, but from the wire services, major publications, UPI,
right.
Audio, and the rest. And I said, I have to evaluate this in that context. And I said, how would we deal with the other networks? Well, of course, he replied, Ron, I'm asking this on a CBS one-on-one exclusive, of course, talking from a self-interest.
Yeah.
And his proposition, of course, is a CBS exclusive.
I get it. All right, well, we'll think about it.
It no matter how you shake it out, it comes down to the fact that it's a Walter Cronkite interview with McGovern, and then a Walter Cronkite interview with the president. I think we have to look very carefully at whether or not the promotion of that event and then the interviews, no matter how widely spaced, how that would elevate McGovern. I think we'd want to assess that very carefully.
Of course, if they put his on right now, and then we'd do ours the last week, that's what I'd have in mind.
Well, I talked to Cronkite about the spacing, and he had not even made this proposition to the network. He hadn't, thought about blocking.
See, the only way I would do it the last week on the basis that I'm too busy before that.
Right.
But anyway, it's interesting.
It is.
Raise hell with other networks, but do things for them.
Well, you see, one of the things in the rotation of our one-on-one, NBC would be the next up, and that doesn't bother me one damn bit.
NBC, we aren't going to give them.
That's what I mean, see.
And we could tell Smith that we'll give him the first thing after the election.
Well, Smith would understand, I'm sure.
Huh? No, you really tell him that?
Yeah, I would.
That he could have the first crack that we're going to do. The one-on-one isn't a bad idea anyway. I'd like to give him the first crack after the election.
But when I was talking to Cronkite, I sort of, we went through the details of how you would do this and what he had in mind. And then I said, well, how would you handle the equal time thing? I suppose you've already covered this with the government.
Yeah, I see. Good.
Drew him in that way, and he was...
He knows.
He knows, and he knew. And
you don't think he's already offered it to McGovern?
He tells me, and I asked him that precisely. I said, well, I suppose you've already talked to McGovern on this and have him lined up, don't you? He said, no. No, he didn't. And he said he wasn't going to talk to him until he had an indication of our interest.
Okay, well, we'll...
Now, I suppose he's telling the truth, but you...
never know.
You really never know. It would be quite a coup for Cronkite, you see, and I think that's why he made that personal call, what he referred to as a personal call. But I was not brusque with him, but I, I let him
know in
a
subtle
way. You
let
him
know looking at all the facts.
Yeah, he went around a little bit.
Good.
So, I've got a memo into Haldeman with these details.
Right, oh, that's fine. That's right.
And,
I got the word.
I have it down on paper.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Well, good. Well, I think on balance that despite our, I was talking to Colson and Haldeman a little about this later. I think we may tend to have been a little bit too rough on terms of evaluating the office thing is what TV does. If you don't let them do it live, they aren't going to give you one hell of a lot. They're going to give you a couple of hooks.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, if you look at the whole damn thing, it certainly gave us a pretty dominant news position on some things that we wanted, and I think we can't complain about that.
No question about that. The total impact.
And also, it is very good with the columnists and the rest. I mean, they're going to, when they're whining around, but when you've had one of these things, well, now for a couple of weeks, they won't say anything about not seeing them.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. I just, I just want to be overcautious that we don't overlook the TB side of it. But I agree totally that the overall impact, the collective impact, the collective news impact of the session in the office was a very good plus.
The experts now have some. They like to be there. Okay, Ron.
Okay, sir.
Bye. Oh, Ron.